At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
What do you make of the fact that she seems to have something that is driving her to say that she's concerned that he's outside, that he got hit by a snowplow there, that he's dead, which she said to Carrie. Could I have hit him? Did I hit him? Which she then continues to say until they actually find the body, and then continues with that after they find the body. But they're driving around town in a snowstorm. These girls come and try to pick her up, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And she's on this direction of I hit him. Could I have hit him? Before they found the body. Why there? Why is she going there even? Because if you're out and everybody's drinking and having a good time, and if you saw him go into the house, which she claims that she did, although just minutes before at this moment in time, she says she doesn't remember dropping him off and that they left each other at the waterfall. And then suddenly she's met with, no, I saw your car outside my house last night, Karen. That doesn't make any sense. Then she has to grapple with that. And she's going back to, I have hit him. Not he's sleeping with another woman, which she was doing the night before, because that could be plausible. Not I think for the character of John O'Keefe, but in her messed up, whatever is going on in her mind, paranoid mind, that seems like a plausible idea to her, that he could just be passed out on someone's couch if he went into the house that night and they all been drinking. Maybe John just crashed there. Those seem like very plausible ideas. He's not answering his phone. It's 5 a.m. Everyone was drunk last night. Nobody's answering their phone right now for the most part. Those all seem like very plausible things to be thinking, not screaming in front of John's niece, I killed him. Why is she going there? If she saw him go into the house and she has no recollection of anything happening with John dangerous outside on the street.
Well, for one thing, she thinks externally, so she doesn't think internally. Sure. So she's vocalizing everything she's thinking out loud, and she's literally trying to piece together fragmented memories that she has. She's trying to take in data from other people to kind of build what the truth was of what happened. And I don't think there's any ulterior motive what she's doing in this moment. I think she's literally trying to figure out in her drunken state the night before and everyone else's what the hell happened. Yeah. And she's doing so as an external thinker, meaning that she does not think internally or quietly. She just has no filter and out it comes. And so that's what everyone else around her is picking up on and also commenting on.
Yeah. And then again, as we analyze this down and look at all the data points of, you know, what does make sense here? What does make sense here? You then have to add in that if this conspiracy, if he was beat up and killed in that house, drug out to the front lawn, somehow no one noticed any of this happening, that the relationships that existed there suddenly changed, and that Jen McCabe and Carrie Roberts suddenly became homicidal maniacs, and also then at the same point, a couple hours later, decided to go and assist Karen, but it's all a ruse to try and find John O'Keefe. So they would be in that car and they just witnessed somebody die, whether it's their fault or somebody else's fault, but they would have known it happened. And they're looking up, or she's looking up basketball scores also while trying to figure out how long John's going to take to peter out in the cold in the front yard. And then just as plain as day, yeah, let's go help her. Let's help her search. Let's go and help. Let's look. But that's all a ruse. You'd have to believe that too.
Well, the interesting thing too, to consider in all this is when we are under stress as human beings, our emotional impulses, our less thinking brain engages. In other words, who we are at our core is what comes out. And so in Jen McCabe's case and all these other people's cases, where do you see their concern is not the impact on them. Their concern is others, concern for Karen concerned for everyone else but themselves. And so Karen's concern is where? Self, 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 self. So under stress and emotional hijacking, we see the true behavior and focus where people come out. And I think that's what we're seeing in the first morning after, as the effects of the alcohol from the night before are starting to wear off and stress hits of chaos, we're seeing the focus.
I think that's a very good way of putting what we're witnessing here. Let's take another look at another clip. This is, again, this is another initial one where Karen's memory is not the greatest, and how her story kind of continually adjusts as more facts are put in front of her. And I'm not saying this is nefarious. This is just kind of how the human brain seems to work.
Yes.
When you kind of are browned out, like, oh yeah, there is that there. So that would make that impossible. Maybe I do have a little bit of a memory of something of being at that house. Let's take a look.
And then when she got on the phone, I had told her, Karen, I saw you guys outside of my sister's house. And then she told me she didn't remember being there. And then she went on to say, she started saying, could I have hit him? Did I hit him? I don't. And then she just was just all over the place, like screaming my name, screaming so many different things. She was hard to follow or understand.
When she was saying to you, did I hit him? Could have I hit him? Was that before or after you informed her that you had seen her out front of your sister's house?
It was after I told her that. She also informed me that she had cracked her taillight.
In that conversation, she told you that?
In one of the conversations I had with her in my bedroom, yes.
When you told her that you had seen her out front, mm-hmm. she had said that she didn't remember that night. Was that before or after she was saying, did I hit him? Could have I hit him?
Can you repeat the question? Sorry.
She was telling you about that she didn't remember that night.
Mm-hmm.
Was that before or after you had told her about seeing her car?
When I said I saw you, her at Fairview, then her response was she didn't even remember going there.
Did she ever deny that she came to Mr. O'Keefe's house? I mean, to your sister's house?
No.
When she told you or said to you, did I hit him or could have I hit him or something like that, did you have any idea what she was talking about?
No, I didn't pay attention to it.
When she told you that she had cracked her taillight the night before, did that have any significance at that time to you?
No.
Another, I think he put it in good perspective of, did it have any significance about the taillight at that moment in time? Because Jen and Carrie are not that concerned about the taillight. They're not putting it together. They're not going, you killed him, you hit him. Right. Which I would think, honestly, if you're trying to play the conspiracy card and you are responsible and everybody at the fun party is responsible for killing John, and Karen's like raising her hand going, I think I might have done it. I think you'd lean into that if you're like, oh my God, Karen, you must have done it. If you're trying to frame Karen Reed, but they're not. They're just like, don't worry about that, Karen. That is even a time where Carrie even, or Jen, Carrie says, no, you didn't hit John. Like, let's go, because it doesn't seem logical to anyone at that moment in time that would have even taken place.
Right. Because it just doesn't make sense that she would hit him and run off either.
No.
But what we keep seeing Karen doing is she's trying to ascertain what everyone else's recollection was, what everyone else's story is, so she can start in her defensive mind for self-preservation. She's trying to take the narrative that everyone has and starting to craft it to support her and to defend her. So she's floating ideas, she's floating concepts, she's floating theories, she's floating memories to kind of test and see where everyone else is at, to kind of piece it all together for preservation. Again, this isn't a conscious act that people do. It's just a natural state of being when we get in a kind of emotional hijacking space.
Yeah, yeah. Again, let's go back one more time to the idea that she kept going back to that space of he's in the yard. They get there. She makes a beeline for the spot where John is at. Nobody can see anything because there's enough snow on the ground. John is covered. Despite what people will say, like, oh, there's no, it was by that time, there's a thick amount of snow on the ground. Nobody's seeing John O'Keefe on the ground. They have to get the snow off of him to actually physically see him. So the fact that Karen made a beeline right to him in front of the flagpole rather than going to the front door of the house, which is where one would logically think John is, on a couch, or where did you guys see him last since you saw him go in there, she somehow instinctively thinks he's in the front yard and goes directly to him in the front yard before trying anything else.
Does not want to believe the truth of what transpired. That's all it is. So, I mean, she's just taking in data points to not believe the truth of what happened.
Do you think she has a memory of him getting hit or being injured in that yard? Or is it, because I think it could be this other thing too, where she backs up, I've said this before, looks out the window, shouts something, or doesn't even, that might not even have occurred, not even the shouting, just looks back. Where's John? I didn't even see him get in the house. That was quick. And just like, ah, fuck it. And then just leaves. You know, just kind of in that drunken, he must have got in. And you're just not worried about it. But then in the fog of everything in the morning where John's not back and you're wondering back, well, that's weird. I didn't see him get in the house either. Oh, I got a cracked taillight. Oh, shit. So, did I hit him? Or is it that consciousness of like putting those pieces together? Or is there a world where Karen maybe saw him out of the side of the road, which then you get to the second degree murder.
So remember, she made the phone call to him she called him, remember? Saying all pissed.
Yeah, all
really
that.
Really pissed, yep. that he went in and you're there for 2 minutes. Where the hell are you?
Yeah.
So she is a drunken, angry woman at this point.
Yeah.
And so when you are drunk and angry and you back into something, you're going to rationalize away, well, screw him, you know, again, pure conjecture and everything. But again, you can, it's an easier path to go down to understand a drunken, angry woman, under the influence driving off after backing into something and saying, well, piss off. Mm-hmm. And then in the light of the morning, as many people have done, saying, oh, what did I do last night?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe there's a little more to that than I gave the moment for, because I was in a drunken idiot stupor.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes me wonder.
I mean, just think about the data points on that are so much more plausible than the conspiracy theory that completely. He was beat up inside the house, dragged outside, the dog bit him, you know, aliens and Martians came down. I mean, just.
Mm-hmm. And I find it very plausible whether she hit him or not. And could she, factually innocent is different than innocent. Factually innocent means you don't have the facts to prove that she actually hit him. So then you can't convict. There's reasonable doubt there. If she is innocent, it means she just didn't hit him. Right. I think it could go either way there, quite honestly. And then to get to second degree, you'd have to show that she has some consciousness of it, which does show that she has some consciousness of it by her actions. But is that nefarious? Is that intent? Is that just putting the pieces together? I don't know that we're ever going to have a true answer to that question. But then that can be believed independently of the house beat you up situation. It's such a twisted world in all of this that I don't know where this is going to go. I think the situation and the crazy story is going to sink Karen far worse than if they would have just gone with, we don't know what happened.
I know, because, I mean, you're right. To know her conscious thought at the moment when she's drunk and backs into something and hits something, whether she knew it was him or not, I don't even, you know, it's hard to think that even she would know in that moment. I mean, her BAC was so stinking high, I can't even believe she was able to even operate that car.
Yeah.
Certainly wasn't legal, not even close to being legal.
Not at that time. No. She was blown over high in the morning.
I know. I can't believe she actually got up that early and was awake that early.
Yeah.
And she was able to roust other people as well. So that's why there was something off. And so it's why I'm with you. If they had just stuck with, and so I understand it too. I mean, there's so many, these relationships are so complex that they had here. Mm-hmm. They were all on her side at the beginning too. Because remember, I think I heard Jen McCabe even say, we all thought Karen was just kind of, you know, once the kind of the light of day happened, they just kind of own up to the fact it was a horrible, tragic accident.
Yeah.
And they were shocked when she didn't.
Yeah.
And then they all went down the crazy hole.
A lot more to come in the trial of Karen Reed.
Want true crime coverage all day? every day? Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today and get the latest cases delivered right to your feed.